I know I say it every week, but it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Powerful things happen when you're in his presence. It's important. He says, don't forsake the coming together of the saints, because there is a power there that you're not going to find anywhere else. Amen. Well, go ahead and open up your Bibles today. We're going to open up today to, I can't tell if it's, it's 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 15. For some reason, I thought it was 1. Maybe I better check, because I got two different places here. And I was right the first time. It's 1 Samuel. Sorry. 1 Samuel 15. Couldn't read my own notes when I was typing it up. And we're on our new series about the overflow. And I just love this picture behind me because it's a picture of a cup that has water coming in, and there's so much water coming in that it's starting to overflow on the surface around it. And that's where I believe we've done so much talking about tithes and offering, which I think you guys are getting that and you're doing awesome. But I believe the Lord wants us to function in the overflow. And part of that is the Lord gave me a little saying for the overflow is following the Lord, obedient and willing. Following the Lord, obedient and willing. That's what's going to keep the flow going in our lives, the overflow part. Now, you're doing your tithes and offerings. You're doing what the Lord has called you to do. But we need to be praying about the overflow and where he would have us to put that. Amen? And the first word the Lord gave me was obedient. And in 1 Samuel 15, 22, there's a very famous verse, and it says this, and it says, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. And sometimes we don't quite understand what that means because we don't see the whole picture of what's going on right now. So I want to give you a picture of why it's important that we're obedient and not just sacrificing things or bringing things to the Lord. It's important to know what his instructions are. And in this text, Samuel was the prophet at this time, and he had told Saul specifically how he was supposed to go. Is it the Amalekites? There's several kites in this part of the... It is the Amalekites, okay. He was supposed to go to the Amalekites, and he was supposed to destroy them completely. Everything in the city was supposed to be destroyed. But we read on, and it says that the word of the Lord came in verse 10. The word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set Saul up as king, for he has turned back from following me. That are the last words I would ever want the Lord to say about me. I don't know about you, but I don't want those words ever said about me. And why did the Lord say that? Because we see here Saul was not obedient. In verse 13, Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, now listen to this, Saul's heart. Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And I love what Samuel says in verse 14. What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear? Saul thought, oh, here comes the man of God. Woo, I'm doing good. Went out, defeated the Amalekites. And Samuel's response to him is, what is this that I hear? What is the bleating of sheep and the lowing of oxen? He's saying to him, dude, did you not listen to what the Lord told you? He said everything was to be wiped out in that city. That was his command to you. And I love how Saul immediately turns it and says, it was the men that were with me. They wanted the plunder. Okay, we all know he's the king, right? If the king had said everything was going, everything would have gone, right? But then he turns it around and he said, not only is it the men, but look at this great offering, the sacrifice that I'm going to bring to the Lord. Sorry. This great offering that I'm going to bring to the Lord. And that's where Samuel comes to him and says, in verse 22, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? So what he's saying is, the Lord isn't impressed by your sacrifice. He's impressed by your obedience. And he follows it up with saying, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. So we see that this wasn't just a random verse. There was power behind it, because in Saul's mind, he thought he would impress God with his sacrifice. By not obeying fully the command the Lord had given him, he would bring in these things to sacrifice him. Can I be honest with you? I don't think that was Saul's intent at all. I think he got caught, and so then he said, oh, I'll just sacrifice it, right? I'll give it to the Lord. This is why it's so important that we obey. Now keep this in mind. To obey is better than sacrifice, right? Then you fast forward into the book of Mark and Luke. Both have this story of the widow who brings the two mites. I've always wondered, I mean, obviously Jesus knew her heart, that she was bringing all she had. But there were people that were coming that were bringing their sacrifices and making a show of it, right? That's what he said the Pharisees were doing. They were bringing a show. But he said, this woman gave of all she had. I started to think, wait a minute, if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if he wasn't impressed by Saul's sacrifice, but rather he was looking for obedience, what would have made his son see something different in this widow? I believe it was because she was obedient. Her obedience brought joy to the Lord's heart. It didn't have anything to do with the amount. It had to do with her obedience. That makes it so much more understandable of why Jesus singled her out, right? It wasn't her widow's mite that impressed him. It was her obedience that impressed. All these other people were bringing all these things and all these treasures, and Jesus is like, eh, none of that means anything, right? Just like Saul, because they weren't being obedient to the Lord. They were bringing their sacrifices as a statement of, ah, look at me, right? This is what's going to keep us separated from that group, is being obedient. We don't want the Lord to say, I am so sorry that I ever gave these people money. I don't want the Lord to say, I'm so sorry that I ever set up Redeemed Church. Whew, we don't ever want to get to that place, right? We don't want the Lord to look at us like the Pharisees. We bring in our gifts as he's giving us the overflow. But we're not being obedient to what he's told us to do with it, right? Amen? So whatever the Lord tells you to do with your overflow, be obedient. That's the very first thing that he wants us. So that means you're going to have to pray. Amen? When that overflow comes or the extra comes in, pray and ask the Lord, what am I supposed to do with it? And I would be like David. Every time it comes in, I'd go right back to the Lord. What am I supposed to do with this, right? Like David did when he would go to battle. He never just went to battle the same way every time, because he knew the Lord had a different plan. Now, sometimes the Lord may tell you, I want you to do this for a year. Well, then you be obedient for that year, and you do that with that overflow. But he may have all different kinds of things for you to do. Why? Because sometimes I think he's looking to see, are we going to trust him and be obedient? So we're only going to be obedient if we hear his voice and know what he's calling us to do. Amen? Amen. So as the overflow comes in, the very first thing we're going to do, we're going to follow the Lord, obedient and willing. We'll learn about willing next week, but this week we're going to be obedient. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, I just thank you so much for your faithfulness, Father, for your word that instructs us and teaches us, God. And today we want to be ready for this overflow that you're bringing into our lives, God, so that we can be obedient. We want you to see our lives and go, yeah, yeah, right on, my child, right on. You did what I asked. Because we know, Father, if we're obedient, you will keep pouring out the blessing in our lives, Father. The things you must have had planned for Saul saddens my heart that he didn't get to fully do what you called him to do because he refused to be obedient. God, we don't want to be in that place. We want to be the children that you say, this is an obedient group of people. So whatever it is, Father, it may not make sense at the time, but Father, help us to be obedient and to move when you tell us to do something. With this overflow that comes in, Father, I pray, even for myself, Father, I just pray that you would just lead me and guide me and direct us. Show us, Father, I pray, each thing that comes in, what to do with it, Father, that you will receive all the glory, that we will be faithful stewards of what you've given us, Lord, in these last days. Bless every seed that's sown today. Bless the sower. Multiply 100-fold, Father, so we can continue to give to every good work. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Praise the Lord. Michelle was ministering on overflow. Somebody say overflow. Amen. We're going to make a confession of faith over your giving today. I was watching Pastor George, his message from last week. That's kind of how I do it. I log on to their website, and their live service doesn't start for an hour, so I'm watching last week's message. Amen. But he led the congregation in a confession of faith about being in the overflow, and I wrote it down for you. All right, so ready? And this is based on the story of Joseph out of Genesis, right? Amen. And talking about 7 years of plenty. Amen. So somebody say this. I will have 7 years of plenty. And he said, after that, we'll have 7 more years. And then after that, 7 more. Amen. And then he said, I have a surplus of prosperity. I have more than enough. I am furnished in abundance. I receive multiple streams of income. I'm increasing more and more. I'm blessed beyond measure. My land is overflowing. My storehouses are blessed. My cup is running over. I am living in the overflow. And then finally he says, everybody say this, my motivation for accumulation is distribution. Or I like the way Jesse says it too. Say this, my motivation for accumulation is revelation. Amen. Somebody just say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for your tithing and your offerings. Man, they are going to just get the gospel preached around the world. Amen. And thank you for that awesome message about being in the overflow. Somebody just say that. I am in the overflow. Praise God. Well, we're not overflowing with kids this morning, so I guess you're stuck with me, Pastor Shelley. Amen. Well, God is so good. People are out traveling, doing stuff, vacations. But if you haven't noticed, God has given us a vessel where there is room for more. Man, talk about some place to overflow, right? I think that it's approved for up to 200 people in this room. Somebody say, hey, that's what faith is for, right? I was listening. They had a radio station on for a while called K-Love 90s and all the songs I used to like. And one of the Amy Grant songs was, baby, that's what love is for, right? Well, in times like this are what faith is for. Amen? Glory to God. So we're just so excited. Amen. But just be on the lookout, okay? Because you guys are all, you've been here for a while. You know the drill. You know what we're doing. So if you see a family show up, you don't need a permission to welcome them, right? You just go instantly into greeter mode, right? Offer them a place to sit, get them some notes, welcome them, you know, show them where the bathroom is. Amen. Just, you know, there's opportunities to just be a blessing all the time. Amen. I know we all love each other, but just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, even as far like this now that we're some of our folks aren't here today, so I kind of floated around in the back and poked my head out to the parking lot to see if anybody out there that doesn't belong in the parking lot, you know, so a security mindset, you know, just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We are all equipped. Amen. And, you know, occasionally there might be things that pastors, oh, here comes someone looks suspicious right now. It's Richard. Oh, we have kids, Pastor Shelley. Amen. Pastor Shelley, you are dismissed. your children, so, amen. So, oh, here they come. Amen. Praise God. So just be sensitive to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're just, and be expecting. Amen. We could show up one day and there's people waiting at the doors to get into the church. Amen. Next week, I'm going to play for you a video clip of Catherine Kuhman. And she was interviewing a young man who was at her service. And I just happened to pick a random, good morning, y'all. Welcome, welcome. But I just happened to pick a random YouTube video of her, and she was interviewing a young man who had attended her service in Portland. And they were talking about the Civic Auditorium, which is now the Keller Auditorium, I looked it up, and how he was from, this young man was from Tillamook. And he was sharing a testimony of a miracle healing that happened while they were in Portland. Somebody say, Portland. Glory to God. That anointing has been to Portland. Amen. And God is a God of great miracles. Amen. So just, in other words, just when we come to church, let's just be expecting Jesus to show up. He shows up every time. Amen. And throughout our lives, but let's be looking for people even to invite. Amen. And I remember I use New Beginnings a lot as an example. I showed my kids an old video from 1995 at New Beginnings, and I was playing a Back to the Future part. Dr. Brown and my buddy Jim back then was playing Marty, and we were talking about all the awesome things God is doing in this great city and, you know, this kind of stuff. Amen. And it just brought a great expectancy to the people in that church, right? And I'm here to tell you, be expecting the power of God to manifest in your life, right? And here in church, right? But in those days, we would do things and we would print tickets and invitations and things like that. And those people wouldn't always come. I'm sure many people did have people that would come. But the Lord was faithful to see that others came. That principle of sowing and reaping. So even if people that you're inviting to church are saying, ain't for me, just pray for them, believe God, right? But trust that angels are involved in making sure other people who will come. Remember the stories in the Bible, the Lord's got us on this for a moment, obviously. The stories in the Bible where Jesus would share, go out there and invite people to come in, and if they don't come in, just go to the streets. And just grab people and draw them in. Just on Friday, I'm out there on my pest control job that I won't have to do forever in the name of Jesus, right? But I'm grateful for it. It's a great industry, and I go places I probably wouldn't normally go, right? And I'm walking around this building in Portland, a couple of tents right there on the sidewalk, and I'm listening to, like, Rick Renner or somebody, and all of a sudden, this guy pops up, and I know what he's going to ask, right? No shirt, just rough looking. And I instantly came out of my mouth, are you ready to be free? And he's like, I am free. And I just talked about Jesus with him. Oh, yeah, I know Jesus. So what? Man, we're sowing the word, right? Sowing some encouragement. And then this rough looking lady pops out of the tent. And I've got a, you know, a pest control tank I'm spraying around this building, and she comes up to me, oh, would you just spray me, please? Just spray me now. And I'm like, ma'am, you're a beautiful woman. Faith statement right there. You are a beautiful woman. You're not a bug. Why would I spray you? Jesus loves you. And she just wandered off babbling, you know. There are a lot of them are on heroin and everything else. Spiritual bondage, right? Sowing the word, right? Later on in the day, I'm doing another house in Portland, and this young lady is walking around just asking people for money, anxious, you know, and she found me. And I'm like, well, there's a gas station right there. I'll gladly get you some food. It's hot out here. You're thirsty. Oh, I just want money. I just want money. Well, all I got is plastic today. I wasn't lying, right? All I got is plastic on me today, but if you're still around in about 20 minutes when I'm done with this house, I'll go right there next door. Oh, could you put maybe some gas in my car? Sure, sure. Well, she left, and I thought she was gone. But they're doing my documentation. All of a sudden, there she is at my window. Could you still get me some food and some, maybe put some gas in my car? Sure, no problem. So I'll be right there. It's like right next door. Well, it takes a while to document what you do. I'm sitting there, maybe another 3 or 4 minutes. All of a sudden, she's knocking. I'm, are you coming? Are you coming? Yeah, I'll be right there. I promise. I'm not lying to you. So I pull around to the gas station. She has her car already at the pump. And by the way, it is a Mercedes. I'm talking waxed, immaculate. I don't care. She's holding up traffic. So I go up to the guy. Now, instantly, I know what's probably going on here. Okay, I think she's probably a prostitute, right? And it's probably the pimp's car. And if she brings the pimp's car back with no gas, she's probably going to get beat up or who knows. And she's freaking out, right? So I told the guy, the gas station attendant, $10 in her car. I wasn't going to fill it up, right? So I said, $10 in her car, and I go into the store, and she gets some chips and things. But she kept bringing up God, just on her own. Oh, God's just helping me. I said, you bet he is. That's why I'm here. Someone's praying for you, sister, right? God loves you. Stick with Jesus. And she's kind of half rambling, but yet, you know, we're sowing the word, right? It didn't make much sense to people around me. They were looking at me like, what are you doing with this girl? I'm helping her out, man, putting gas in her car, getting her some food. She's hungry. It's hot outside. And off she went. She came over to my window and thanked me again. No problem. God bless you. Just stick with Jesus. What are we doing? Sowing the word. That day, I think I put gas in a pimp's car. But who cares, man? If you're witnessing to somebody, God might have you do some weird stuff sometimes, right? But the word, somebody say the word, the word, the word, the word. Here's a guy that wasn't going to use her, right? That said something positive to her, that was going to help her. Amen? And maybe that will come to her mind down the road. Someone's praying for you kept coming up, right? Amen. So what are we doing? We're just constantly shining the light, keeping the light on. Amen. So when people come into this place, just be sensitive to the Lord. Remember, they're coming in and they're probably not perfect. Neither am I. Amen. And we just welcome them in, give them a place to seat, show them where the bathrooms are, welcome them, you know, and so forth, right? Somebody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray over this word today. God, the Holy Ghost has got us going somewhere, doesn't he? Hallelujah. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to respond to what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, a few weeks ago, the Lord kind of redirected me back to miracles and healing. And then, you know, all this red alert about COVID has come back again, you know. People are anxious about it and so forth, and rightfully so, right? There is a devil. There is a devil. Right? There is a COVID. There is a Delta or whatever it is, right? But guess who else there is? There's a Savior, right? There's a healer. Greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? And we're going to keep on it. Somebody say, we're going to keep on it. And so the Lord has us in a healing in service. And we've been showing video clips. You know, we're calling it the God's healing flow, right? There's a flow of healing. There's a river of healing. Praying in the Spirit, church, keeps us in the river. Staying in God's word keeps us in the river. Staying in church keeps us in the river. Amen? Somebody say, we have a healer. Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Well, I've been showing a little video clip, just some powerful, you know, like next week I talked about Catherine Kuhlman. Past few weeks we've had Brother Copeland, we've had Oral Roberts, and we've had who was the man last week? Reinhard Bonnke, that miracle that we saw in Nigeria, right? Well, today, this being a healing school, right? A healing service, I want to introduce to you another hero of mine that I've gotten to know over the past few years. And he is actually a doctor. A lot of you, I'm sure, have heard of him. But this is a clip from Life Today, James Robison's broadcast. And this is Dr. Don Colbert. All right? So I wanted to show you this about 2-minute clip. And then we'll come back and... Oh, that's not what I want. That's what I want. all right, let's get our ears on here.
First of all, Adam and Eve, the first key test they came to was the food test. And Adam and Eve both felt it. Eve felt it first and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then gave it to Adam. They felt it. From that moment on, it infected the human race with sin. Now, Jesus came and he had to pass the food test. But you remember Isaiah chapter 7, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel." Now, that's right. Jesus prophesied hundreds of years before he came. The next verse says, "Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to avoid the evil and choose the good." In other words, by learning to choose the right foods, he'll learn to avoid evil and choose good. Fast forward to when Jesus came. He was just baptized by John the Baptist, and then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. And now, again, the Spirit led him into the wilderness. This is Matthew chapter 4. Now, also, after 40 days, it says, after 40 days of fasting, it says Jesus hungered. He was really hungry. So then Satan comes at his weakest moment, and he says, "If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread."
And, or Twinkies.
The Twinkie. But this was the food test. Remember, Adam and Eve failed it, infected the human race with sin. Jesus passed it by saying, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Mm-hmm. Again, realize that we catch a cold, we catch the flu, but we develop most diseases by consistently making the wrong food choices. And if we can't resist a bowl of ice cream, a cookie, a brownie, a chocolate chip cookie, or an Oreo cookie, then how are we going to resist the devil? How are we going to resist diabetes, cancer, dementia, heart disease, high blood pressure, all the disease? It starts by passing the food test.
Amen. Somebody say amen or oh me. Praise God. So this particular topic is the one that a lot of Christians just would rather, you know, let's just get back to Oral Roberts and Catherine Kuhlman. And but this is a big part of our healing. Amen? Is better choices on what I'm eating. Amen? You ever heard that phrase, "I am what I eat," right? Well, people like Dr. Don Colbert, I would encourage you to follow him if you're a social media person, or get some of his material. Tremendous, tremendous, you know, man. And by the way, Spirit-filled Christian, loves God with all his heart, and just has a burden to get the body of Christ healthier. Amen? And that's a big part of us walking in divine health, is our dietary choices. Amen? I know it's not everybody's favorite topic, and believe me, I'm preaching to me as much as I'm preaching to you. But just in the past several years, the Lord, in people like Dr. Don Colbert, you know, I'll hear things that he does. A lot of times they have him on right after the holidays, where I've been oinking out, right? And there's Dr. Don bringing me back to reality, right? And just getting even one or two concepts, because some of the stuff that he goes into, honestly, woo, it's like, wow. I watched an old Carol Burnett skit the other day. It's about this guy that all he eats is natural food. and he's out in the woods. He's like, so I eat pine trees. He takes a bite of the pine tree. I eat gravel. He's eating gravel. Takes a bite of a picnic table, right? It's like, you know, it can start feeling like that with, well, what do I eat then? Well, this is a great man to plug into and just get a few things. Amen. But just in my own life, the Lord has really, really, and it's a process, but just over the past few years, he's helped me to make some changes that are helping me. And I'm not, just like being born again, the process is still underway. Amen. But God's plan for us is to live a long, strong life. Amen. So that we can be around to be a light to the world, right? And to be a blessing. And I don't want to spend days and days in hospitals, church, with people that are practicing medicine, that give you something that might work, that don't really have time for you. Amen? Now, Shelly and I, we get our annual physicals, and we're not saying don't go to doctors, but so much of the church even has gone the way of medicine, right? Just prescribe something to me. Side effects may include. We're not hearing a lot about side effects lately, but there are side effects to medical drugs in many cases. So if I have to be on something, I should be believing that this is for a season, not for my life, right? And I'll tell you what, it's what I'm putting in my body that's causing the issue. And men and women are different, our ages are different, so God gives us wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. Wisdom of God, right? But I remember I was at one of the folks that came to my birthday party is a good friend of ours, and she's a family doctor. And she said she had a lady that came to see her, and she's having all these health problems. And she's like, I just don't get it. I eat the way I always have. And she's like, that's the problem. You can't eat the way you always have. Oh, yes, I can. That's why there's Catherine Kuhlman and Oral Roberts and Reinhard Bonnke. We'll praise God for miracle healings and miracle services and all these kind of things. I love Billy Burke. He'll get somebody and they'll step out of a wheelchair and they'll be taking steps and going on, and all of a sudden they just have to, and he gets over and he goes, you know what? There's healing happening. You're just out of shape. And it's true, amen? So, hallelujah. But what I love about Dr. Don Colbert and that, you know, not everything in the Bible, church, is a back rub to us, right? A lot of things in God's word should absolutely, hey! Right? But I just really enjoy that he brings truth like that. And I think the word I'm looking for is responsibility. The church oftentimes wants to just get all responsibility for me off of me. This type of stuff brings the responsibility back to me. And what it does is it gives me control. Amen? I was seeing over the past, you know, few months a physical therapist. I felt just stirred to do it. Talking about I've had a knee injury back in 1988, and it had two surgeries and all this kind of stuff. But over time, scar tissue and things start building up, and it started affecting the flexibility. And I kind of walk with a limp, you know, and the Lord's helping me to overcome that. But he led me to go to this physical therapist, and he taught me, I don't know, 8 or 10 different stretches that are helping me, right? And I told the guy, I was like, you know what, thanks for your time. This gives me some sort of control back. Gives me some control back of my life, right? And that's exactly what this type of stuff does, is it gives the control back to me, and back to you. Somebody say, I can do this. Just say, I'm open to this, Lord, amen, hallelujah. But a couple of verses here we want to look at are Galatians 5. Yes, this is a healing service. Amen. Or somebody say, I'm in the flow. I'm in the flow. And then say, and so are you. We're in this together. Amen. Praise the Lord forevermore. Somebody say, I'm taking my life back. I am taking my life back. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is from Brother Copeland's Confessions for Living in Divine Health, which we always start with in this teaching, right? Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness," and everybody say, "self-control." Against such there is no law. Somebody say, "self-control." Amen? What I eat is really a matter of self-control. Amen? Praise the Lord. If there is, you know, a dozen donuts and a watermelon, or some blueberries on the table, right? Amen. That's why I've got even watched coffee intake, right? Because coffee always needs a piece of pie. Or, you know what I'm saying? The Lord helps us. And you know, sometimes we just instantly go to that one thing that we think is the issue, and the Holy Ghost helps us. No, this back here is the issue. If you just deal with this, that'll fix that. Amen? And somebody say, don't be hard on you. Don't be hard on yourself or your spouse or people in your household. Don't be judging them. This is about me and Jesus. Amen. Glory to God, right? Well, I mean, you might, I've heard Dr. Colbert say this before. He has a keto diet that it's just amazing, right? And he says it would be good if you did have a buddy do this with you. Because you can help each other. Well, that's good, right? But somebody say, but don't judge. Don't be judging other people. Amen? Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, the Bible says this: "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Hallelujah. So even though, you know, eating junk food, you know, people can say, I can eat whatever I want, I just pray over it. I love Tim Hawkins. It has a funny routine. He's a Christian comedian, about God just blessing anything we eat. And he's like, "Lord, bless this Dr. Pepper and this bag of Cheetos. Please bless it, Lord. Change the molecular structure of this Frito, have it turn into a carrot." And it just makes it funny to think that God would just bless anything I put in my mouth, right? He might have to heal me after, right? But somebody say, "I'm taking control back." Now, this may not apply to everybody in this room, but I'm receiving it for myself, right? Because there's things that God is working with me on. For me in particular, it's usually about the quantity of food. Because in the evening, man, I've been doing some fasting and praying for our country and for the church and just believing God throughout the week. And when I get home, I'm ready to eat. But see, the problem is, it's like, "Well, Lord, we've had this great time of prayer and fasting today, so now it's just on. Whatever's there, I'm eating it, and I'm going to eat it again and again and again." And it stays light till like 9:30 right now, so hey, it must be time for something else. Let's just keep, you know, so the Lord is helping me to draw it back, amen? Praise the Lord. But let's make this confession of faith together, right? Everybody say this, it's in your notes there, but say this: "I am not led by my flesh." You sound so enthusiastic. Let's say it like we're fired up about it. "I am not led by my flesh in the choices I make with food. I'm not tempted by processed or sugary foods. Instead, I'm led by the Spirit and eat what is healthy and life-giving for my physical body. I have a spirit of self-control, and I am in control of the foods I eat every day." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So somebody just say, "I'm breaking through. I am breaking through on this. The Lord is helping us. My health is improving." Hallelujah. Praise God. Can't we just get to Catherine Kuhlman? Absolutely. And we will. Somebody say, "It's all God." But this piece right here that we just saw is a piece that has been missing from the body of Christ. And we have to bring these things up. You see them in a lot of times in these healing services, and they just expect the evangelist to do it all. Oh, I see you on television, and it's all about Billy Burke or whoever it is, right? And they'll be the first to tell you, hey, I'm not the healer. You're going to have some things you have to do after this, right? We'll get it started. Some healing is instantaneous, some is a process, right? But a lot of it has to do with me, taking control of me. Somebody say glory to God, right? Amen. I repent of the sin of gluttony. Let's just call it what it is. Amen? Food makes me feel good. Well, I need to eat food that actually will make me feel good. Because there's a lot of foods out there that taste good, but make me feel miserable. And can actually bring on depression and all kinds of nasty stuff. And he talked about it. Opened the door to sickness and disease and all this kind of crazy stuff, right? Where other foods, if I'm eating the right foods, actually bring life to me. I remember one time I was working in Salem, and I had to leave the house like at 5 to get there, and I was kind of not really awake. Sipping a coffee, I'm sure. I was awake enough to drive, but I had to get fuel going out of town. And I stopped at the fuel pump, and I filled it up, and then it wouldn't start. And it wouldn't start, and it wouldn't, nothing. So I had to call the office, and they had to, I can't remember what we did, but they had to find another way to get me out there. Or I didn't go, I don't remember what happened. But, I mean, it's Salem, right? And I'm leaving Camas. And come to find out, the mechanic from our shop came out, and he calls me later, and he goes, Steve, don't you know that that truck doesn't run on diesel? They had to siphon the diesel out of the truck. And it's like that with food. If I'm putting junk in my body all day long, right? Then pretty soon my body is going to stop working, right? Hallelujah. Now I'm all about getting to heaven, but I don't want to go faster than I should. And I don't want to go through a hospital or through, you know, crazy stuff. Amen? Somebody say the Lord is helping us. He is. Hallelujah. Well, these are confessions from God's Will to Heal from Pastor Keith Moore, morelife.org. And he says this, God said so. How do we know whether it's God's will to heal us or not? It makes little difference what others say about it. What did he say about it? Remember that God is no respecter of persons, and he never changes. So what he said to them yesterday, he is saying to you today, God's word is speaking to me. These statements are taken directly from the Bible with little or no variation. The verbs and construction have also been changed to apply to you personally and to sum up the thoughts in some instances. Also, many of these statements are prefaced by phrases like, if you walk in my commandments, if you believe, if you obey, if you stop eating trash. Just kidding. I threw that one in there. But it's true, amen? So what did God say? We've been walking through 101 things God said about healing. And you can download this at Keith Moore's website, morelife.org. I meant to have some more available today, and I want them out front for people to have access to. But right now we're at Numbers 22 through 31, working our way to 101. Hallelujah, right? So let's say this together. Psalm 118, verse 17 says, you shall not die, but live and declare my works. Man, that's a great promise. I shall not die. What are people afraid of right now in 2021? Dying. Dying. But somebody say, not me. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Number 23, actually, Psalm 147:3. I heal your broken heart and bind up your wounds. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody just lay hands on your heart and say, I call my heart well. If you have injuries in your body or wounds, just lay hands on your body and say, I receive the healing of God in every part of my body today. This also to me would cover things like depression and sorrow and grief. Just say, I receive freedom today. I rebuke and resist depression, sorrow and grief and worry and strife and all these things that can cause heart issues. I forgive, deal with any unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will cause heart issues. Just say, I forgive, and I release in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, right? Praise the Lord. That right there can get you healed, right? Number 24, Proverbs 4, verse 10. The years of your life shall be many. Somebody say, the years of my life shall be many. Amen. Praise the Lord. So don't be making plans to die. I've heard people do that, right? Well, you know, so-and-so in my family didn't live past this age, and they didn't live past this age, and they had heart problems, and they had heart problems, so why should I think I'm going to live past 72? Somebody say, keep going. You have the promise of God on your side. Hallelujah. The years of my life shall be many. Now, that would be a good word study, that word many. Hallelujah. I know we looked at a verse recently that God promised the years of our life can be 120 years. Somebody say 120 years. Somebody say live till you're satisfied. Live, just keep living till you're satisfied. Glory to God. Number 25 is out of Proverbs 3 verse 8. Trusting me brings health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Hallelujah. Healthy bones, healthy bellies, healthy bodies. It's part of God's plan for our life. What are we talking about? We're talking about God's will for divine health. Because see, a lot of folks don't even know if it is God's will, that it even cares about it. Here's 101 things that show us he does, right? Amen? Hallelujah. Number 26, Proverbs 4:22 says this, my words are life to you, and health or medicine to all your flesh. Praise the Lord. This is why we study God's word and read it and hear it preached, right? And confess it, because there is literally healing in it, healing in God's words. There might be something trying to come on you you don't even know about. There probably is. There's things in our life that probably we've been delivered of that we don't even know exist. Right? But because you're in God's word, the word of God is coming against that thing. The word of God is coming against COVID right now. It's coming against cancers and diabeteses and heart failures and suicides and depressions and all, constantly working, constantly working. This is why we continue to intercede throughout the week. Amen? Was it Smith Wigglesworth that somebody asked him, how much time do you pray every day? And he said, about 15 minutes. But I don't go 15 minutes without praying either. Amen, right? So we just keep the wheels turning. Keep the wheels turning. Brother Rick Renner was talking about one of the definitions of the word minister is in those old ships back in the day where they had to row, like those big oars. That's what a definition of a minister was. So you're keeping it going. And his whole point was keep it going, church. Keep your faith going. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then number 27, Proverbs 15, verse 30, my good report, somebody say, good report, makes your bones fat. Praise the Lord. The word of God is good news, church. Amen. Healing is a good report. So no matter what the doctor's report says, no matter what the COVID report says, or Olympia, or Salem says, or Washington, D.C. says, we keep on what God says. Because God's word is eternal. I'm not even saying what they're saying isn't true. It might be a fact. Although in many cases, I don't think so. Coming out of some of their mouths, right? But God's word is eternal, and it is true. Hallelujah. In truth, the truth of God's word can change facts. Hallelujah. We are in the fact-changing business, church. Amen? Because that's who our daddy is. Number 29, Nehemiah 8:10 and Proverbs 17:22. My joy is your strength. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Spend time laughing, church. Somebody say, lighten up. Lighten up. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. Somebody say, I'm lightening up. Even about this dietary thing, it can come on like, ugh. No. If there's foods that can kill me, there's foods that can bring me life. So what am I focusing on? What can kill me or what can bring me life? It's like when I tell this story sometimes, when I learned to ride a bicycle, my parents took me out to a parking lot at a school, I think it was, and there was one car. They said, just don't hit that car. So what did I do? Don't hit the car, don't hit the car, don't hit the car, don't hit the car! Right to the car, right? There was all this other room. Like in the Garden of Eden, don't touch that tree, don't touch that tree, don't touch that tree, don't touch that tree! Right? And there's all these other trees to eat from. That would have brought life. Amen? So there's way more freedom in serving God than serving the devil. Amen? Praise the Lord. The joy of the Lord. So somebody say, lighten up. Lighten up. Hallelujah. There's people out there, man, they are just under pressure. Let's be light. Amen? Not saying we don't care, right? Our eyes are on Jesus. God's got this thing. We're confessing his words, bringing faith, bringing encouragement. Hallelujah, right? Number 30 says this from Isaiah 32, 3 and 35, 5. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. The eyes of them that see shall not be dim. Somebody say, I have perfect vision. And spiritually too, right? I see things in God's word, but my eyesight is not growing worse, it's growing better. The Lord is healing my eyes. I mean, there's a promise right there. And then finally, number 31, Isaiah 32, 3 and 35, 5. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Them that hear shall hearken. Somebody just lay hands on your ears and say, my ears hear. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, ears be healed, eyes be healed, body be healed. In Jesus' name. Stand up on your feet, everybody, as we close. We always close with this confession of faith today. This is, I think Miss Gloria Copeland is the one that wrote this, but this is a powerful confession of faith for our healing. We need to watch what we say. Amen? Everybody say this. Jesus Christ is Lord over me, spirit, soul, and body. Sickness, I resist you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I enforce the will of God on you today. Leave my presence now. I believe I receive my healing now. I am well now in Jesus' name. I forgive and receive my forgiveness in Jesus' name. Now just praise the Lord and thank Him. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for being our healer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Just begin to move your body around, do something. If something hurt before, just begin to move that thing, move that neck, move those arms and shoulders, and just thank the Lord for His healing power active in your life. Glory to God. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.